Telstra, the AFL and the NRL have appealed against a federal court ruling that lets Optus record matches shown on free-to-air television and then replay them to customers. You might recall about a week ago the result came through from a federal court case in which Optus was found to have not breached copyright over Telstra's lucrative deal with the NRL and AFL to broadcast live matches on the internet. Now, I'll try and explain it myself and then we'll throw to the expert who'll do much a better job. But effectively, customers using Optus TV now are able to record free-to-air television from their smartphone or indeed your computer and watch it with a delay of as little as 2 minutes. Now, people obviously are saying, well, hang on, if that's the case and that's legal, what the hell are companies like Telstra doing paying $163 million odd for exclusive rights? Surely they're worthless. IT guru and commentator Stilgherrian has been watching this. Stilgherrian, welcome to the program.
G'day, Will. How's it going?
Well, good to speak to you. Thanks for your time today.
Hey, no problems. We're coming to you live from the beer garden, given that we're talking about sport and it's a Saturday.
Excellent. I like it. You've just immersed yourself in the affected environment. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell us then. It seemed extraordinary at the time, this result, for most people, because that's the nature of rights transactions that we've had just about since we've had television. So this was just a hand grenade that got thrown into the room.
Well, it is, but it's the same hand grenade that's been thrown into the room of pretty much anyone who's had content, as we call this stuff now, whether it's music or a film or a TV coverage of a sporting match,
yeah.
And it encounters the internet. Now, this is being described as, you know, the decision gives Optus the right to rebroadcast sporting matches. It's actually nothing of the sort. What it actually is, it says, you know that right that says you can record something off the telly to watch it when you get home?
Yeah.
What it means is, well, you can do that even if you're not recording it on your VCR at home or your PVR these days, but you're actually using recording equipment in Optus's data centre. You're on your mobile phone. You think, goodness me, I'm going to forget to watch the football. So you get onto the Optus website, you say, hey, please record this for me, and I'll watch it when I get home. And when you get home, you watch it on your PC. Now, what the judge has ruled in this case is that that is no different legally from you just recording it on your recorder at home and watching it back.
Right, which does make a little bit of sense, but are Optus not being a little bit cheeky? A two-minute delay here, I mean, ultimately, they're basically showing it live.
Well, you know, that certainly if I was someone who'd just done what Telstra has done recently and paid $153 million over 5 years for the rights to put this online, I'd be pretty damn sour about it, for sure. I'd be appealing this all the way. And even the judge in the case, Stephen Rears, he knew as soon as he made this decision, it was going to be appealed. It was going to end up in the High Court. And he predicted, you know, that's about 2 years' worth of legal work and, you know, we can guess how many new BMWs that is for the lawyers along the way. But this is the thing that keeps hitting us. The whole point of the internet was that we could shunt our data around wherever we wanted to, you know, from between our home, between our office and whatever. And from the point of view of the internet, a recording of football coverage, well, it's just another digital file. And the fact that once we start recording that in a remote data centre, that within 2 minutes we can start watching that back, well, sure, the people who originally drafted the law didn't think that was going to be the end result, but that's where we are. And so we've got this balance between your right, my right, to say, hang on, I want to watch this match later.
Yeah.
And someone saying, well, we'll just provide you with a convenient way of doing that.
It's interesting because, as I said right at the intro, my initial reaction was, well, I think that's a bit cheeky and it sounds like there's a loophole. But once you have it explained, you're right. It's a perfectly legitimate transaction's the wrong word because it speaks of something financial that's going. But it is the same action, I guess, as what you say. You're going home and doing with the old VCR or your hard disk recorder these days.
And who of us hasn't, like, phoned a mate and said, mate, I'm going to miss the next episode of My Kitchen Rules. Can you just tip the record button for me? I'll be home in half an hour.
I mean, is the point here, is Telstra stupid in a way in that trying to get exclusive internet content. We're talking about the internet, the bastion of free information and delivery of that information from a free source. I mean, it's initially coming from free-to-air TV. Anyone can watch it. And then trying to put it onto a place that's all about freedom and sharing information and trying to make that exclusive. Was that just a dumb move that was always bound to come unstuck?
Part of me wants to say, sure, dumb, we should have predicted this.
Sure.
But, you know, predicting the kind of ramifications of these sort of technologies over the long term is actually really, really tough. It probably looked good at the time. It probably looked great saying, hey, yeah, we will have the matches going to Telstra. We'll make them available only to people who are on a Telstra mobile phone plan, and that's a great way of selling more Telstra phones. I mean, it probably looked great sitting around the boardroom.
Yeah.
But, you know, perhaps they needed to go and talk to some 12-year-olds who are just used to shunting a photo. Hey, here's a photo I took. I just put it on Facebook. Now someone will be watching it on another device somewhere else. This is kind of how things are going to unfold, and I think this is something that's going to be really hard for everyone in the exclusive rights game, because when there were only 4 or 5 or 6 television channels, you know, you could control and charge big money for what you put down
them.
But the internet is effectively an infinite number of television channels. Mm. I can set up a camera here in the beer garden, you can watch that. Someone else can. We'll have an audience of 2, and off we go. We're not going to get 153 mil for that, obviously.
Sure. Not straight away.
Not straight away, yeah, but we can work on that.
Is this a Telstra then just the next casualty, the next intermediary that's a casualty of this direct delivery that the internet provides us with? And I guess I'm trying to lump them in with people like film distributors now and people that make CDs and things like that, fighting back against piracy. But the intermediary is just, there's no point anymore.
Well, you've absolutely hit that. I mean, the magic jargon word in internet land is disintermediation, which just means taking out the middleman. And that has happened with music. You see artists putting their music straight on the internet and selling digital downloads directly to their fans.
Yep.
And this is the same thing happening in sports. And already in the United States, the major codes are doing this. Okay, Major League Baseball in the United States, it's an absolute religion.
Mm-hmm.
I can get, as by just subscribing at the league's website, I plonk down a subscription, I get live, high-definition coverage of every match, live. All of the matches, including the practice matches, are kept online for me to watch any time.
Wow.
And it costs $24.95 a year.
That's extraordinary.
And there's no one in the middle. The Women's Basketball League in the US is actually doing this for free because they put ads in it.
I'm amazed how cheap the baseball is, but I must say, you know, without having thought of it in this context before, I do the same thing. I'm a big basketball fan. I pay for a subscription to get direct access to all those games over the internet. So yeah, there's probably more of us that are consumers of something like that than we even realise. But it brings me to sort of a question. I guess this is a bit unfair because we're talking about the Optus and AFL situation, but more broadly speaking, is it a mischaracterisation, or is it a little bit cheeky of the perception out there that because of this, musicians and the music industry is suffering and movie makers are suffering? Is the reality that the artists and the creative people, the creators of the content, are still doing as well as ever? Is the truth of the matter it's just those people in between that are struggling, or are the industries more broadly struggling because of this kind of delivery?
I mean, it's hard to generalise on that, but
sure,
certainly the people in the middle are suffering.
Yeah.
And when you look at the kind of people complaining about it, it's not the musicians, it's not the filmmakers as such, it's all those people in the middle, all those people whose business used to be about physically shipping music on CDs and putting them in a shop and having shelf space and having to have some, you know, undereducated 17-year-old sulkily sell you the damn thing. You know, they're the ones who are really suffering here. And that's because when you look at the price, I mean, I always say, look at what a bit of music on CD cost. An album was, let's call it $20.
Yeah.
The artist would get $2 of that.
Yeah.
And the $18 in between is all of the people in between.
Mm.
And what happened, and just look at Apple's iTunes store and the music app. I mean, that's now the biggest music retailer on the planet.
Yeah.
They charge only, as it were, 30% of whatever goes through the place. So if you are an artist and want to sell a $20 album, you'll actually get $14 of that.
Which is perfectly reasonable. Now, the situation back here at home with the AFL then and the rights and the agreement with Telstra, it sounds like from what you're saying, and if we're to take anything and learn from what happens in the United States, then what we can say is the AFL right now might be going, well, hang on, next time the deal comes up, it's not going to be so lucrative. We're not going to get $163 million from Telstra again. But the reality, well, there exists at least the potential to sell off the rights individually to people for $24 here or there, and you can have all that access to your computer, and we can make that money directly. It sounds like the big loser in the long term will be Telstra, not the AFL.
Oh, absolutely. All the people in the middle, as I say, are the people that are going to suffer. Now, the problem we have in Australia is that, you know, we've only got, what, a tenth, not even that, a 15th of the population of the United States.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really difficult for us to do all this for $25 or $50 a
sure.
year. But we might do it for $200 a year.
Yeah.
And when you divide that over the course of the season, I mean, a fan is willing to pay that much.
Absolutely.
So sure. Yeah. So, you know, that's what's probably, I think, going to be the long-term view. The other thing I think is going to happen, and this is pure speculation on my part, I don't think that the organised spectacle of major league sport will ever have the same kind of money associated with it as it has during the last 20 years.
Wow.
That's my gut feeling,
yeah.
Simply because, again, it's the people in the middle. It's as soon as you have things like $150 million a year for sporting rights. And what did we see the other year for things like AFL television rights on free-to-air? Didn't we see $750 million or something?
Well, the overall package was almost $1.1
billion. Exactly.
So,
exactly. And as soon as you start throwing around $1 billion, you get an awful lot of blokes in suits sitting in the middle wanting to kind of be part of that.
Yeah.
So when they talk about, oh, it's for the good of the game, is it really for the good of the game, or is it for the good of all these blokes in suits in the middle? That's the question I have.
Yeah, and it's a fair point, because if you think that they can control the distribution themselves, the English Premier League does it, I believe. You've mentioned a couple of codes in the US. If they managed to get the message out there, as it were, I mean, that's not being encumbered anyway. They can probably get to more people if they manage it themselves and make it less exclusive. It becomes more enticing for advertisers. So you're right. It's those men in the middle that just won't exist anymore. Yeah.
And no wonder that, you know, they're all trooping into Parliament House in Canberra, as they did earlier this week. And, of course, they get the ear of ministers and the Prime Minister and so on. But I find it interesting that they want a quick fix, really fast, or a simple amendment. I think David Gallop of the NRL said, oh, it's just a simple fix and all the problems will go away. I just want to flag that the Australian Law Reform Commission is scheduled to review all of these exceptions in the Copyright Act anyway. It's been scheduled for ages. During the course of this week, they appointed the lawyer who's going to head up that investigation. They're expected to get their terms of reference by the end of March. And it was literally to review everything like this personal recording exemption, other stuff in there which are things like, personal copying with a photocopier. The idea that if you only copy 10% of an article, then that's a small part, and so that's
sure.
Okay. You know, how schools and universities copy things and how they pay for it. All of this was up for review anyway.
Just before I do let you go, Stilgherrian, is there a danger that quick fix legislation could have ramifications that that are totally unintended?
Oh, absolutely. Because, I mean, a couple of things come quickly to mind. The idea that when we shunt stuff around the internet, by definition, we're creating a temporary copy in the computers along the way and then erasing it when whatever it is finally delivered to us at the end. I mean, we have to allow that kind of stuff.
Sure.
We have to allow, hey, I would like to back up my data or back up my copy of a movie that I downloaded for safekeeping. I've bought the license to watch that forever. I've bought the season subscription to the AFL to watch all of their games. And I just like to make my own backup copy. Well, now we have cloud computing. That backup copy we might want to store in a remote computer, and we want to allow that. So how do we allow that and at the same time say, well, I'd like to record this AFL match and watch later, but somehow I'm not allowed to do that on Optus's computer, but I am allowed to do that on my computer in the office and watch it when I get home. It's a mess. I've heard one of the lawyers describe the Copyright Act as this glorious confusion of complexity or something like that, you know, and it is a complicated beast. So I think, you know, unfortunately, sports people tend to want to go in bull at a gate and crash through.
Yeah.
My gut feeling is crashing through on this occasion could end up making a bit of a mess of things.
And as we have seen, attempts to legislate the internet have been incredibly, not just unpopular, but ineffective, and ultimately they seem to get defeated at the final gate. So we watch with interest. Stilgherrian, thanks for your time.
It'll be an interesting one. Cheers, Will, anytime.
Good on you, mate. Stilgherrian, have a drink and watch some non-exclusive sport for us. Stilgherrian, our IT guru and commentator. You hear him on 5AA from time to time. Very good of him to take some time out of his day to talk to us about what is, at first glance, certainly a very difficult to get your head around issue. But once you hear it broken down, it makes a lot of sense. Another case of old legislation failing to being able to, for being unable or unable to deal with new technology. No one's fault. No one's on the take here. It's just the nature of what happens when you've drafted something 50 years ago and you never for once in your life thought, well, recording something like we used to even 15, 20 years ago, you never would have thought in a million years that one day you don't have to put a little piece of a videotape or a CD in a machine to record something. You can click it on your phone. You can push a couple of buttons on your keypad and it will automatically do it somewhere in the world. You don't even need to have the machinery at your house. It's extraordinary. And it's an extraordinary lot of money that is up for grabs if you're the AFL. But based on what Stilgherrian says, they don't have to be too concerned. They can recoup that in a way. It's just Telstra and some of those intermediaries that are in for a very, very tough time as the internet becomes the beast that it is becoming. And certainly it's going to be even a reality that these companies have to face as the National Broadband Network takes over here in Australia. And suddenly you're talking about internet speeds and unprecedented access that mean downloadable video content and things like that will become not a luxury, but just an everyday reality. There's money to be made there, as people say about the internet. It's just people aren't quite sure how to do it yet.